بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the One who bestows mercy. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In the previous lesson, we went through the importance of each Muslim adorning himself with the correct akhlaq. And the meaning of akhlaq is manners, the correct characteristics of a Muslim. And the author, Rahimullah, Sheikh Abdul Aziz ibn Baz, Rahimullah, he mentioned that from the Islamic manners are as-sidq, truthfulness, wal-amana, and being trustworthy, wal-afaf, and being chaste, wal-haya, and having shyness in front of Allah, and shyness in front of the people in terms of committing sins, wa-shuja'a, and being brave and having courage, wal karam, and also generosity and hospitality, wal wafa, and the meaning of wafa is to fulfill the contract and fulfill the trusts, wal nazahatu an kulli ma harram Allah, and that a person remains distanced from everything which Allah has forbidden, wa husnul jawar, and being a good neighbor, وَمُسَاعَدَةَ ذَوِي الْحَاجَةِ حَسْبَ الطَّاقَةِ, and also helping those who are in need according to your ability. وَغَيْرُ ذَلِكَ مِنَ الْأَخْلَاقَ الَّتِي دَلَّ الْكِتَابُ أَوِ السُّنَّةُ عَلَى مُشْرُوعِيَّتِهَا, and all of the other manners and characteristics which the book and the sunnah have legislated, such as being tolerant and pardoning people, forgiving people, living in a way which is honorable and with dignity, having mercy, not having malice and spite in a person's heart against the other Muslims, being patient, gentle and lenient in da'wah, and using good words, good speech, being humble in front of the people, and so on and so forth. All of these matters are from the akhlaq, from the manners which our Islam, which our religion teaches us. And this is the message of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Innama bu'ithtu li'utammima makarim al-akhlaq. He said alayhi salatu wasalam, I've only been sent in order to complete noble manners. And in this lesson, we come to at-ta'addub bil-adab al-islamiyya. And here the meaning of al-adab al-islamiyya is the customs which the Muslims are upon, the rituals which we have. So there is akhlaq and there is adab. Akhlaq are those manners which a person adorns himself with, these characteristics which you have in yourself. As for adab, then these are those customs, the Islamic Muslim rituals of dealing with each other. How do we deal with each other as Muslims? How do we deal with the non-Muslims, for example? So he said, وَمِنْهَا السَّلَامُ. So from the customs and the practices of the Muslims amongst each other is السلام, giving salam to each other. And this is perhaps the greatest of the Muslim customs and practices amongst each other. That if a person greets you with the greeting of Islam, you either reply to him according to the greeting or better than it. Like Allah said in the Quran, وَإِذَا حُيِّيتُم بِتَحِيَّةٍ فَحَيُّوا بِأَحْسَنِ مِنْهَا أَوْ رُدُّوهَا. That if you are given the greeting, then either reply with something which is better, or at the least reply in a similar way. Meaning if somebody says to you, As-salamu alaykum, either you reply by saying wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah, this is better, or at the minimum you say wa alaykum assalam. And if somebody says to you assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, then either you reply by that which is better, wa barakatuhu, or at the minimum you reply with that which is equal, wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah, and like this. And there are many virtues to giving salam. From amongst them is that when two Muslims come together and they shake their hand and they give salam to each other, as long as their hands are meeting each other, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, sins are falling off. And also from the virtues of shaking hands and giving salam is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this practice is a practice in which the Jews are most jealous of. Al-Yahud wa al-Nasara, when they see this love and affection between the Muslims, two Muslims who don't know each other, from different nationalities, from different ethnicities, and yet they meet each other, they make dua for each other, they give greetings of peace and salam to each other, they shake each other's hand, then this causes the kuffar to be jealous of the Muslims. And from the signs of Yawm al-Qiyamah, from the indicators of Yawm al-Qiyamah, is that people will restrict their salam to the people they only know. Whereas the Islamic manners are that a person gives salam to those who he knows and those who he does not know. As long as that person is a Muslim and you know he is a Muslim, then you give salam to them. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, لما سئل أي الإسلام خير, when he was asked which type of Islam is the best, he said, تطعم الطعام, you feed other people, وتقرأ السلام على من عرفت ومن لم تعرف, and you give salam to those people who you know and also to those people who you do not know. So the greeting of salam, it is not restricted to friends and family and relations. The greeting of Islam is restricted to Muslims. So as long as a person is a Muslim, then the salam should be given. And also, the companions themselves, they should love giving salam so much to each other that if they were walking with each other and then they were separated because of an obstacle or a tree, if they met each other again, they would say salam to each other. Because salam is dua. And it's beloved for a Muslim to make dua for his Muslim brother and to receive a reply in it. And in fact, so much so, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam made the salam an avenue to enter into Jannah. Because the Muslims, the mu'min, the believers, they have to be with each other like a single body, always feeling each other's pain and rejoicing at each other's happiness. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, لا تدخلوا الجنة حتى تؤمنوا, you will not enter into Jannah until you have Iman. ولا تؤمنوا حتى تحابوا, and you will not have Iman unless you love each other. So from the conditions of لا إله إلا الله, from شروط لا إله إلا الله, is المحبة, love. What do you have to love? You have to love لا إله إلا الله, meaning Tawheed. You have to love the people of Tawheed. And who are the people of Tawheed? The Muslims, the people of Al-Iman. So he said, لا تدخلوا الجنة حتى تؤمنوا ولا تؤمنوا حتى تحابوا. You will not enter into Jannah unless you have Iman. And you will not have Iman until you love each other. Then he said, أولا أدلكم على شيء إذا فعلتموه تحاببتم. Should I not inform you of a practice? And if you do this practice, you will love each other. He said, أَفْشَوْ السَّلَامْ بَيْنَكُمْ, spread the salam amongst each other. Whether you know the Muslim or you don't know the Muslim, always giving a salam. And how is the salam to be given? With this wording. Either السلام عليكم, and better than it is السلام عليكم ورحمة الله, and better than it is assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And some of the ulama, they have mentioned that when a person is initiating the salam, meaning when you start the salam, it's better to say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, and you stop at wa rahmatullah. And this is because it gives the person who is going to reply to you the opportunity to fulfill the ayah of replying with that which is better. That he says, wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So if you said, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, then he can only reply with that which is equal, meaning wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. But if you stop at wa rahmatullah, then that person, he has the chance or the opportunity to at least reply with that which is better. And in the hadith of Umran ibn Husayn radiyallahu anhu min Sunan Abi Dawud, he said, جَاءَ رَجُلٌ إِلَى النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَقَالَ السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ فَرَدَّ عَلَيْهِ ثُمَّ جَلَسْ فَقَالَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ عَشْرٌ. That a man came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and said, السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ. And then he replied, وَعَلَيْكُمُ السَّلَامُ. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said 10. Meaning this person, when he replied with wa alaykum as-salam, he had 10 good deeds. Thumma ja'a akhar. And then another man came and he said, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam replied to him, wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. And then he said, 20. Meaning this person has 20 good deeds. Why? Because he said, wa rahmatullah. And then a third man came and he said, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam replied to him and then he said, 30, meaning you have 30 good deeds. And in some of the wordings of this hadith, there is an addition. And this addition, sometimes you hear it from the youth. And that is that they reply with wa maghfiratuhu, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu wa maghfiratuhu. And this increase, maghfiratuhu, is it legislated or is it not legislated? The ulama, they differed upon this. And those ulama who affirm that it is legislated, they say it is only legislated in reply. So it is not legislated to begin with assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu wa maghfiratuhu and his forgiveness. It is only legislated if you are applying to Islam. This is the first issue. However, the legislation itself is differed over. And this is because those narrations which mention wa maghfiratuhu, many of the ulama consider them to be da'if, weak. So from those narrations, is this narration of Umran ibn Husayn in Sunan Abi Dawud. The narration continues, and then a fourth person came. And he said, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu wa maghfiratuhu. And then he sat down. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, 40, meaning he has 40 good deeds. This addition of wa maghfiratuhu and 40 deeds, this is what the ulama have differed upon. And the majority of the ulama, and amongst them Ibn Hajar in Al-Fath and Ibn Al-Qayyim in Zad Al-Ma'ad, they consider it to be weak. And from the ulama who consider it to be authentic or hasan is Al-Bani, rahimahumullah ajma'in. He considered it to be something which is good and accepted. However, as I mentioned, only when it comes to replying. And wallahu a'lam, the majority of the ulama said it is not legislated. Also, there are certain adab, certain etiquettes to giving as-salam. So from the adab of as-salam is saying it verbally. So it isn't sufficient for a person to merely raise his hand. In fact, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam warned the Muslims from doing so. He said, "Tahiyatul Yahud al-ishara bil kaf," that the greetings of the Jews between each other is the raising of the hand. And therefore, in order for the Muslims to be different from al-Yahud, and to have tamayyuz, to be distinguished from the Yahud, it isn't allowed for the Muslims to greet each other by just raising their hand. So if, for example, you're on one side of the road, and another Muslim is on the other side of the road, and he cannot hear what you are going to say, but he can see you, so you raise your hand, you have to say along with it, Assalamu alaikum. You are in your car, another person passes by you, another Muslim in his car, you raise your hand up, you don't just raise your hand, because this is the practice of al-Yahud. Rather, you raise your hand, and even if it's to yourself, you say, Assalamu alaikum. Why? So you are different and distinguished from al-Yahud wal-Nasara. So the first etiquette of giving a salam, that the salam is not given by merely raising the hand and not saying anything. Rather, it has to be accompanied with the statement, Assalamu alaikum, even if the other person cannot hear. The second etiquette is that the younger one starts the salam to the one who is older in age, out of respect for his status. And those who are walking, they give the salam to the one who are sitting. And the one who is in the car or the one who is on a mode of transport gives the salam, initiates the salam to the one who is walking. And like this. And we could also say, for example, the congregation, the person in the congregation initiates the salam to the imam as a sign of respect for his status. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, يُسَلِّمُ الرَّاكِبُ عَلَى الْمَاشِي, that the one who is on a transport, he initiates the salam to the one who is walking. وَالْمَاشِي عَلَى الْقَاعِدِ, and the one who is walking, he starts the salam to the one who is sitting. وَالْقَلِيلُ عَلَى الْكَثِيرِ, and the smaller group, they should initiate the salam to the larger group. وَالصَّغِيرُ عَلَى الْكَبِيرِ, and the young person should start the salam to the one who is older in age. All of this is from the etiquettes of as-salam. Also from the etiquettes of as-salam is that the salam is given when you enter upon a gathering or a sitting, and also the salam is given when you leave the gathering or the sitting. However, giving salam when you enter upon the gathering, this is akidu istihbaban. This is more recommended. This is higher, more emphasized in terms of it being recommended. And as for giving salam when you're leaving, then this also is legislated. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِذَا انْتَهَى أَحَدُكُمْ إِلَى الْمَجْلِسِ فَلْيُسَلِّمْ, that when one of you comes to the majlis, then let him say the salam. فَإِذَا أَرَادَ أَنْ يَقُومْ فَلْيُسَلِّمْ, and also if he wants to stand up and leave, then he should also give the salam. Also from the etiquettes of the salam is giving the salam when you enter into your house. And Allah said in the Quran, فَإِذَا دَخَلْتُمْ بُيُوتًا فَسَلِّمُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ, that whenever you enter into the houses, then give salam to yourselves, meaning to your family. And this has two benefits. The first benefit is you are fulfilling the sunnah of giving salam. And the second benefit is it informs those people in the house that you have come. So perhaps they are doing something, they're in a situation, they're undressing. So when you give the salam, people know that you have entered into the house. Also from the etiquettes of giving salam is, it isn't permissible for a Muslim to initiate the salam to the non-Muslim. We're talking about as-salam, meaning as-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Because this is something which is exclusive to the believers, the Muslims amongst each other. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, لا تبدأ اليهود والنصارى بالسلام. Do not initiate the greeting of salam with al-Yahud wal-Nasara. But if they initiate the salam to you, they say, Assalamu alaikum. Then you say, Wa alaikum, and upon you as well. Also, from the etiquettes of giving salam is, being sensitive to those people who are around you. So if, for example, you're near a person who is sleeping and somebody comes, then you lower your voice when you're giving a salam in order not to disturb the person who is sleeping. And subhanAllah, even this beautiful manner, we find it in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In Sahih Muslim, النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا كان بحضرة نائم, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, whenever he was in the company of somebody who was sleeping, كان يسلم تسليما لا يوقظ نائما ويسمع اليقظان, he would give the salam which would not wake up the one who is sleeping, but at the same time the one who is awake could hear him. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he was in a sitting or gathering and somebody was asleep, then he would lower his voice. And he would lower his voice so much so that the one who is sleeping would not wake up, and yet the one who is awake can hear the salam. And the hadith is in Sahih Muslim. And also from this, the ulama, they take the benefit that if, for example, you are in a gathering of al-ilm, knowledge and learning, and somebody comes late, then he shouldn't raise his voice when it comes to giving a salam, so as not to disturb the teacher and those who are studying. And if he must, then he lowers his voice when he does so. Also, from the etiquettes of giving a salam is the shaking of the hand. And the shaking of the hand, it is called al-musafaha. And al-musafaha, it is done with the right hand. So the right hand of a person, he shakes the right hand of the person who is in front of him. And then the author, rahimullah, he said, wal-bashasha. And also from the mannerisms and the customs of the Muslims, when they are with each other, is al-bashasha. And the meaning of bashasha is having, smiling and being jovial, you know, happy and smiling. This is the meaning of al-bashasha. And in the ahadith, it is called talaqatul wajh, which means the same thing. That when you greet a Muslim, when you're with a Muslim, when you see a Muslim amongst each other, we should show each other happiness and delight, and we are jovial and we are polite with each other, and so on and so forth. And the mercy of Allah and the kindness of Allah is such that even the smile of a Muslim is charity towards another, charity for him. It is an avenue of a good reward. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, لَا تَحْقِرَنَّ مِنَ الْمَعْرُوفِ شَيْئًا. Do not belittle any type of goodness. Any type of goodness, do not belittle it. And then he said, وَلَوْ أَن تَلْقَ أَخَاقَ بِوَجْهٍ طَلَقٍ. Even if it is you meeting your brother with a happy face. So even this, meeting each other with a happy, smiling, jovial face, this is goodness. The Prophet called it ma'roof. And ma'roof means goodness and an avenue of reward for you. And the Muslim isn't allowed to belittle any type of goodness, even if it's a little amount. He said, لَا تَحْقِرُونَ مِنَ الْمَعْرُوفِ شَيْئًا وَلَوْ بِالشَّقِّ التَّمَرَى. That do not belittle any form of goodness, even if it is giving half of a date in charity. Look, not a full date, and a full date is nothing. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned something which is even less, half a date. A person gives half a date in charity, do not belittle the charity which he has given. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in the hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, تَبَسُّمُكَ فِي وَجْهِ أَخِيكَ لَكَ صَدَقَةً. That you smiling in the face of your brother, this is sadaqah for you. This is charity for you. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was known for smiling. In fact, Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Bajali radiallahu anhu, he said, مَا رَآنِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مُنْذُ أَسْلَمْتُ إِلَّا تَبَسَّمَ فِي وَجْهِ. Now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he never saw me since I accepted Islam, except that he would smile in front of me. Since I accepted Islam, Whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw me, he'd always be smiling at me. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his laughter was a smile. This has been mentioned in some of the narrations. That when it's mentioned that the Prophet used to laugh, it means he used to smile. And every now and again, he would laugh so much, حَتَّى بَدَتْ نَوَاجِذُهُ, until his molar teeth, at the teeth at the back of his mouth, they can be seen. So sometimes the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to laugh like this. However, the majority of the time, the laughing of the Prophet, it was his blessed smile alayhi salatu wasalam. And why does the greetings of salam and even just smiling, why does it have such a reward? Why is it like giving charity? Because it creates love and affection between the Muslims. So therefore, anything which creates love and affection between the Muslims, it takes this ruling. As long as, of course, it is halal. So visiting each other, because it is an avenue of creating love and affection among the Muslims, it becomes something which is highly emphasized. And giving gifts to each other, and asking about each other's family and situation, education, so on and so forth. Anything which spreads love and affection amongst the Muslims, then this takes the ruling of smiling and being recommended and being an act of charity. And also, from the manhaj of Ahlu Sunnati wal Jama'ah, from the manhaj of the Salaf, from the Salafi manhaj, is bringing the Muslims together. So Ahlul Bid'ah, they are known for dividing amongst the people. As for Ahlul Sunnah, they are known for bringing the people together. And that's why notice the names. Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah. Ahlul Sunnati wal Ittilaf. These names are mentioned. Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, i.e. of coming together. Ahlul Sunnati wal Ittilaf, like Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhum said, Al-Ittilaf means affection. So Ahlul Sunnah are known for this. Bringing the Muslims together, uniting the Muslims, nurturing love and affection amongst the Muslims. As for Ahlul Bid'ah, how are they known? Ahlul Bid'ati wal-Ikhtilaf. Ahlul Bid'ati wal-Furqa. The people of innovation and divisions. The people of innovation and sects and dividing. So Ahlul Sunnah bring people together, and Ahlul Bid'ah, they divide amongst the people. And when we say uniting the people and bringing people together, meaning upon the truth. So this doesn't mean that we say all of the Muslims be together and each one can remain upon his falsehood. No. We mean the Muslims come together and they are united, but they are united upon At-Tawheed. And they are united upon the Sunnah. So if there is shirk which is occurring, and bid'at which is occurring, then we say, then now there is no unity. So the unity has to be upon Islam, upon Tawheed, and upon the Sunnah. And this shows us the falsehood of those people who call for the unity of the Ummah, regardless of the sects which you are in and the deviation which you have. How can it be that the person who worships Allah alone upon Tawheed can ever be united with a person who ascribes partners to Allah? How can it be so? How can it be that the one who supplicates for the Sahaba, Ahlul Sunnah, is going to be united with those who curse the Sahaba, alayhim ridwanullah? How can this be possible? How can it be that those who worship Allah upon the Sunnah are going to be united with those people who worship Allah upon innovations? It's not possible. And Allah said, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا, that hold on all of you to the rope of Allah and be united. So he didn't just say unite, he said بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ, upon the rope of Allah. And the rope of Allah, the mufassirun, they differed. They say it is the Quran, it is al-Islam, it is the Sharia, it is the Sunnah, so on and so forth. And the worst type of people are those people who divide Ahlul Sunnah amongst each other. Meaning you have a group of people and all of them are upon the Sunnah. They are upon At-Tawheed. They do not have innovations amongst each other. And then people come and they divide between them. This is from the manhaj of Ahlul Bid'ah. And also then the author said, وَالْأَكْلُ بِالْيَمِينِ وَالْشَرْبُ بِهَا. And also from the practices and the customs of the Muslims is eating with the right hand and drinking with the right hand. Like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, إِذَا أَكَلَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيَأْكُلْ بِيَمِينِهِ وَإِذَا شَرِبَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيَشْرَبْ بِيَمِينِهِ. If one of you eats, eat with your right hand. If one of you drinks, drink with your right hand. فَإِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَأْكُلُ بِشِمَالِهِ وَيَشْرَبُ بِشِمَالِهِ. Because shaytan, he eats with his left hand and he drinks with his left hand. وَالتَّسْمِيَةُ عِنْدَ الْإِبْتِدَاءِ. And also from the practices of the Muslims is that when you start your food, when you begin to eat food, you mention the name of Allah by saying Bismillah. And we don't say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Rather, we suffice with saying Bismillah. And also when you begin wudu, you suffice with saying Bismillah. Because this is what was mentioned and narrated in the authentic ahadith. In the authentic ahadith, only Bismillah is mentioned. As for ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, it is not mentioned when it comes to eating food and when it comes to making wudu. And therefore we suffice with that, which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam began with. And also from the etiquettes of eating is that if you are in a gathering and you are eating from a dish, then you eat from that which is in front of you. So if you are sharing the dish with the others, then you don't reach over others. Islamically, this is considered as being bad etiquette. Rather, you eat of that which is near you. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would teach the children these etiquettes. The etiquettes of eating and drinking and how to be amongst people, how to sit amongst people. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would teach these etiquettes to young children. And in one of the ahadith, and it's in Sahih Bukhari in Muslim, he said, Ya ghulam, O young boy, sammillah, mention the name of Allah. I mean, when you're about to eat, first mention the name of Allah. Wa kul bi yaminik, and eat from that which is on your right hand side. Wa kul mimma yaleek, and that which is in front of you. Also from the etiquettes of eating is that you should eat whilst you're sitting upright and not leaning back or leaning against something. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, Inni la akilu muttaki'an. He said, I do not eat whilst I am leaning on something. He said, Walhamdulillah inda al-faragh. And also from the etiquettes and the practices of a Muslim is that when you have finished eating, then you mention alhamd. You praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like saying, Alhamdulillah alladhi razaqani hadha ta'am wa saqani bila hawlin wala quwwatin minni. And like this. Also from the etiquette of eating is that the Muslim does not criticize food. And this was from the mannerisms of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He was never known for being critical of food. And Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu mentions, مَا عَابَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ طَعَامًا قَطْ. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he never criticized food. But in اشْتَهَاهُ أَكَلَهُ وَإِنْ كَرِيَهُ تَرَكَهُ. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if he desired that food, he would eat from it. And if he didn't find it tasty, because the taste of the people differ, then he would leave it alone, but without criticizing it. So how beautiful are the mannerisms of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If he liked it, he would eat it. If he didn't like it, because the nature of people differ, then he would leave it. But he would never criticize the food. Also from the etiquettes of eating is after you have eaten, if you're eating with your hands, then you lick your fingers. And you finish all of the food. And you don't leave anything for a shaytan. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Innakum la tadruna fi ayyatil barakah," that you don't know where the blessing is on the food. Maybe you've eaten the whole plate and the blessing was in that one morsel which you left. Or perhaps the blessing of this food was on that which is in that which is on your fingers. And for this reason, a person should eat all of the food and even lick his fingers. From the etiquettes of food is that if you are amongst a group and you are offering food, you start with the right hand side. So you offer to the one who is on the right and so on until you come to the other side. Even if the one on your right is young and the one on your left is older, you begin with the one on the right. And this occurred with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the company of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, who was on his left, and another one of the younger companions who was on his right. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave it to the one on his right and he said, "Al ayman fal ayman," from the right, start from the right hand side. And the only exception to this is if you ask his permission. So if it is a youngster and the one on the left is older, then you ask his permission. Do you mind if we start with the one who is older? And then there's no problem in this. Also, from the etiquettes of a Muslim is, he said, "Walhamdu ba'd al-'itas," is praising Allah after sneezing. Meaning when a Muslim sneezes, from the practices and the etiquettes of a Muslim is to say, "Alhamdulillah." وَتَشْمِيَةُ الْعَاتِسِ إِذَا حَمِدَ اللَّهِ. And if you hear another Muslim saying Alhamdulillah after he has sneezed, then you say Yarhamkallah. This is from the etiquettes of a Muslim. And what if you don't hear the other person saying Alhamdulillah after he sneezes? Then you do not say Yarhamkallah. Because in the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, and the hadith is in Sahih Muslim, إِذَا عَطِسَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَحَمِدَ اللَّهِ فَشَمِّتُوهُ. That if one of you sneezes and then praises Allah by saying Alhamdulillah, then make a tashmeet, and a tashmeet is saying Yarhamukallah. فَإِن لَمْ يَحْمَدِ اللَّهِ, and if he did not praise Allah, فَلَا تُشَمِّتُوهُ, then do not make a tashmeet. And a tashmeet, as I mentioned, is saying Yarhamukallah. And then he replies by saying يَهْدِيكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيُصْلِحْ بَالَكُمْ. Also, from the etiquettes of a Muslim, the practices of a Muslim is عِيَادَةُ الْمَرِيدِ, visiting the ill. And this is from the rights of a Muslim upon another Muslim. حَقُّ الْمُسْلِمَ عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِ sit. The right of a Muslim upon another Muslim is 6. And from the rights is عِيَادَةُ الْمَرِيدِ, visiting a person who is ill. And the objective behind visiting that person is firstly to they call a tasliya, meaning making that person feel better. So when you go to him, you say la ba'as tuhuran insha'Allah, no problem, it is purity for you insha'Allah. Or you say la ba'asa alayka, in some of the hadith la ba'asa alayka. Or you make dua for the person, shafakallah, and so on and so forth. Also, from the etiquette of visiting an ill person is that you should say to him words which fill him with optimism and make him happy and be positive, and that you don't come with words which are negative. So if you go to a person who is ill, then you don't talk about death, for example, because this will make him feel even worse. But you remind him of a shukr, always showing gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You remind him of the ni'mah of good health, and so on and so forth. Also, from the etiquette of visiting an ill person is choosing a time which is appropriate and sitting with him for a length which is appropriate. So a few short minutes at a time which is appropriate, this is better. وَاتِّبَاعُ الْجَنَائِزِ. And also following the funeral procession, meaning praying the janazah upon a Muslim and then following the body to the graveyard and then partaking in the burial, all of this comes under ittiba' al-janaiz, following the janazah. And this is also from the rights of a Muslim upon another Muslim. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Man shahid al janazah hatta yusalli alayha falahu qirat." That whoever witnesses the funeral until he prays the janazah prayer, then he has one qirat of reward. وَمَنْ شَهِدَهَا حَتَّى تُدْفَنْ فَلَهُ قِرَاطًا. And whoever witnesses the funeral until he goes to the graveyard and the burial, then he has two qirat. So the reward for the janazah is on two levels. If a person follows the janazah until the salah and prays the salah, he has a qirat of reward. And if he prays and then goes to the graveyard, then he has two qirat of reward. The companion said, "Ya Rasulullah, wa mal qiratan?" O Messenger of Allah, what is qirat? What is two qirat? He said, "Mithlul jabalain al-azimain," like two great mountains. So the one who takes part in the Salatul Janazah, he has one great mountain worth of good deeds. And the one who goes further and attends the graveyard and the burial, then he has two great mountains worth of good deeds. He said, وَالْآدَابُ الْمَشْرُوعَةِ عِنْدَ دُخُولِ الْمَسْجِدِ. And also the legislated etiquettes of entering the masjid, أَوِ الْمَنْزِلِ, or entering the house, وَالْخُرُوجُ مِنْهُمَا, and exiting from both of them. So from the etiquettes of the masjid is, you enter with your right foot and you leave with your left foot. And from the etiquettes of entering the masjid is that you pray tahiyyatul masjid. He said sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, "Idha dakhala ahadukum al masjida fala yajlis hatta yarka' rak'atayn." That whenever one of you enters into the masjid, then do not sit down until you have prayed two raka'at. And these two raka'at are called tahiyyatul masjid, i.e. the greeting of the masjid. So this is from the etiquettes of the masjid. Also, from the etiquettes of the masjid is making dua when you enter. Allahumma aftah li abwaaba rahmatika. O Allah, open for me the doors of your mercy. And when you are leaving the masjid, you make the dua. Naam. Allahumma inni as'aluka min fadlika. Allahumma inni as'aluka min fadlika. Oh Allah, I ask you from your kindness. The ulama, they mention why a person says Allahumma aftah li abwaaba rahmatika when you are entering, and when you are exiting, why do you say Allahumma inni as'aluka min fadlik? Meaning, when you are entering, why do you ask for mercy? And when you are exiting, why do you ask for kindness? And the reason why this is that when you are entering the masjid, why do you enter? For your sins to be forgiven. And how are your sins forgiven? By the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you are exiting from the masjid, where are you going? You're going to your work, you're going to your school, you're going to earn money, you're going to the market, and all of this, it comes from the kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is from the greatest avenues of benefiting from the adhkar and the dua. That you should contemplate and realize, why did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam say this dua at this time, and yet at this time he said another dua? Why is it, for example, that when you are going up, you say Allahu Akbar? And when you're going and when you're descending, you say Subhanallah. There's a difference why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to say them. And perhaps in the future, bi-idhnillah, we can go through some of this. Also, entering the house and leaving the house. So when you enter the house, saying As-Salam. And when you enter the house, saying Bismillah. From the etiquette of entering the house is that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to enter, he used to use the miswak. And when leaving, then saying the various dua. Bismillah, wa tawakkaltu ala Allah, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And like this. He said, wa inda safar. And also when it comes to traveling, there are certain ways certain etiquette a Muslim has when it comes to traveling, different from the non-Muslims. So from amongst them is making the dua of traveling. Subhanalladhi sakhkhara lana hadha wa ma kunna lahu muqrinin, the dua. And also, whilst you're traveling, the shortening of the salah and the combining of the salah and making al-mashu al-khufayn for 3 days and three nights and breaking your fast if you would like to do so. All of this is from the etiquettes of as-salah. And also appointing an amir if you're traveling in a company. And also, for example, making dua whilst you're in the journey. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he would return back from a journey, the first thing he would do is pray 2 rak'at in the masjid. And then he would return back to his family. So all of these are from the etiquettes and the practices which a Muslim should have. And then he said, then he went on to dealing with people. وَمَعَ الْوَالِدَيْنِ, the etiquettes a Muslim should have with his parents. And there is no other religion, ayyuhal ikhwa, which emphasizes the rights of the parents like Islam does. No other religion, no other system which emphasizes obedience to parents, even if they are mushrikun, even if they are kuffar, al-yahud wal-nasara. And yet Allah orders us, He obligates upon us to show obedience to them. So subhanallah, if a person's parents are al-yahud wal-nasara wal-mushrikun, they are worshipping the idols, they are worshipping the cows, and yet you have to show obedience to them, then how about showing obedience to the one who worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who bows his head in front of Allah jalla fil-ula? How can we disobey them? And we have to obey our parents fil-ma'roof, in goodness. So if they order with disobedience to Allah, then we cannot obey them. لا طاعة لمخلوق في معصية الخالق. This is a principle. There is no obedience to creation in the disobedience to the Creator. So if our parents, Muslim or otherwise, order us to do something which is un-Islamic or it goes against the teaching of Al-Islam, then we are not allowed to obey them. And the obedience and the rights of the parents is so high that in the Quran, Allah mentions it in a single ayah with His right. The right of Allah and the right of the parents. The worship of Allah, obedience to parents. The tawheed of Allah, goodness to parents. Many ayat in the Quran, like Allah said, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّهِ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. And Allah has legislated upon you, and your Lord has legislated upon you, that you do not worship anybody else besides Him, and you live with your parents in a good way. And also he said, وَالْأَقَارِبِ, and also when it comes to your relatives, your grandparents, your aunties, your uncles, your cousins, so on and so forth. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, من سره أن يبسط في رزقه فليصل رحمه, that whoever is pleased with being given more provisions, then let him join the ties of kinship. Whoever wants barakah in his wealth and his food and his property and his provisions, his sustenance, then let him keep the ties of kinship. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is close to those people who keeps the ties of kinship, and He cuts off from those people who cut off the ties of kinship. And as for how a person should keep the ties of kinship, then this differs from culture to culture. So according to your culture, whether it's visiting them every day or visiting them once a week or looking after them when they're older or living with them or giving them money, according to what is known in your culture as being obedience to parents and silatul rahim. He said, wal jiran, and also neighbors, wal kibar, wal sigar, and also the old and the young. Like Ummul Mu'minin Aisha radiallahu anha said, wa anzilun nas manazilahum, that treat every person according to his or her status. So we don't talk to the old one like we talk to the young. We don't talk to the man like we talk to the woman. Every person is dealt in a way which is according to his level in society. So the older person, he's venerated and he's respected. The younger person is shown love and mercy. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ لَمْ يَرْحَمْ صَغِيرَنَا, that the one who does not show mercy to the young is not from us. وَلَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ لَمْ يُوَقِّرْ كَبِيرَنَا, and the one who does not show veneration, respect to the one who is old is not from us. وَلَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ لَمْ يَعْرِفْ لِعُلَمَائِنَا حَقَّهُ, and the one who does not give the right to our scholars is not from us. So the alim and the hafiz and the imam, the khatib, the old, the young, all of them have to be shown the correct form of respect. In fact, this is showing respect to Allah. Like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, inna min ijlalillahi ta'ala ikrami dhi shaybatil muslim, that from exalting Allah is honoring the old person who is a Muslim, the one whose hair have become white and grey in Islam. If you want to exalt Allah, then respect this individual. وحامل القرآن, and also respecting the one who has memorized the Quran. And other practices like التهنية بالمولود, that when somebody is blessed with a newborn, congratulating him, showing happiness, greeting him, making dua for him. Like for example, the dua, بُورِكَ لَكَ فِي الْمَوْهُوبِ وَشَكَرْتَ الْوَاهِبِ وَبَلَغَ رُشْدَهُ وَرُزِقْتَ بِرَّهُ, and the other du'as which are found. وَالتَّبْرِيكِ بِالزَّوَاجِ, and also from the etiquette of the Muslims amongst each other is that if somebody marries, being happy, rejoicing, sharing his sentiments, giving him the dua of baraka, barakallahu laka wa baraka alayka wa jama'a baynakuma fil khayr, and so on and so forth. Wa ta'ziyatu fil musab, and also giving condolences to the one who is afflicted with a calamity, like the death of a relative. So at-ta'ziyah, giving condolences, this is from the practices and the customs of Muslims, how we should be with each other. That we visit each other, we condole each other. And the meaning of at-ta'ziyah is also at-tasliyah, that you bring comfort to the person. So you order the person with patience, you encourage them with al-ihtisab, hoping the reward of Allah. You remind them of having iman in the decree of Allah. Like we say, inna lillahi ma a'ta wa lahu ma akhadh, that for Allah is that which He gives and for Allah is that which He takes. وَلِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ أَجَلٌ مَعْلُومٌ, and everything has a set period upon this earth. And also making dua for the person who has passed away. Like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to Ummu Salama radiallahu anha, when her husband Abu Salama passed away, he said, اللَّهُمَّ اغْفِرْ لِي أَبِي سَلَمَا, O Allah, forgive Abu Salama, وَارْفَعْ دَرَجَتَهُ فِي الْمَهْدِيِّينَ, and raise his ranks amongst the righteous, and so on and so forth. So generally making dua, offering words of comfort, encouraging them with patience, and so on and so forth. And when it comes to a ta'ziyah, there's one thing which people make a mistake in. Ta'ziyah is not limited to a certain number of days or a certain place. Some people think that ta'ziyah can only be given in 3 days, and this is incorrect. And others think that in order to give a ta'ziyah, you have to go visit the house of the person. Assalamu alaikum. And this is also incorrect. So the ta'ziyah can be given anyway, anytime, whether it's through a phone call, you meet a person in the masjid, you meet the person at work, you send a text message, whether it's within 3 days, or a week, or even after a month. Because the whole point of ta'ziyah is what? To comfort the person, to encourage them with patience, to make dua for the deceased, to make dua for their relatives, and like this. He He said, وَغَيْرُ ذَلِكَ مِنَ الْآدَابِ الْإِسْلَامِيَّةِ فِي اللَّبْسِ وَالْخُلْعِ وَالْإِنْتِعَالِ. And the other types of etiquettes when it comes to wearing clothes, wearing nice clothes, clean clothes, perfuming clothes, saying alhamd for Allah when you buy something new, and when you're taking off the clothes, there are certain etiquettes, being away from the people, covering your awra, and also when you place on your shoes, placing on your right shoe before your left shoe, and generally starting with the right hand side of the body before the left, like Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha, she mentioned, كَانَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يُعْجِبُهُ أَتَيَمُّنْ. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was always pleased with starting off with the right hand side. So when he brushed his hair, he would begin with the right side of his head. And when he made a ghusl, he would begin with the right side of the body. So the right hand is used in everything in which there is karam, in everything which there is blessing and honor, we use the right hand side. And when it comes to cleaning and removing dirt, then we use the left hand side. So all of these types of etiquettes, how we deal with our guests. مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيُكْرِمْ ضَيْفَهُ. Whoever has iman in Allah on the last day, then let him honor his guest. And from obedience to parents is showing goodness to the friends of your parents. So even after your father has passed away, you still show obedience to him by showing goodness to his friends. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, from his etiquettes is that even after his wife Khadija radiallahu anha, when she passed away in the 10th year of the Bi'tha, whenever food was cooked, he would send some of the food and he would gift some of the gifts to the friends of Khadija radiallahu anha in her honor, showing goodness to her. All of this is from the etiquettes of al-Islam. والله أعلم وصلى الله على نبينا وسلم